1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to make idols. Therefore I do not know, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus can be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is a given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another to distinguish between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
So we remain standing now for our Gospel reading, and John's going to read for us some words from John's Gospel, words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples on the night he was betrayed, teaching about the work of the Holy Spirit.
Readings from John 16, verses 5 to 16, and this is at page 1084 in your pew Bible. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then, after a little while, you will see me. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God. Thank you, God. Let us pray that we thank you. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your Spirit might be our teacher today, showing us afresh the Lord Jesus and what it means to follow him, and causing us to live in the light of what you teach us here. For Jesus' great name's sake. Amen. So please do take a seat, and you might like to turn back to this passage on page 1153, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, page 1153. Now, if you can see it, you'll see it begins at that little formula, now about such and such, which Paul uses a number of times, introduces this new topic of spiritual gifts, which is going to occupy chapters 12, 13 and 14. And Paul often uses that little phrase when he's referring to something that the Corinthians have written to him about, coming to the topics which they've asked him to address. Now about, now in my translation it says spiritual gifts, But that is the translators being a little bit naughty and trying to help us out, going a bit too far. Good. What it actually says here is, now about spirituals, or something like that. So it could be spiritual things or spiritual people. What is a true, authentic spirituality? Our society is often much concerned with spirituality, isn't it? People might often say, well, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. We have this kind of intuition that there is something more to life. We're maybe somehow, sometimes, searching for meaning and purpose, and we might talk about that in terms of spirituality. But what Paul speaks about here as true or authentic spirituality is slightly different. First of all, in verse 1, he says to them, I don't want you to be ignorant. And actually, a kind of sort of agnostic openness is very much the spirit of much contemporary spirituality, isn't it? Now, maybe we don't know, we can't know, but Paul thinks that there are certain things which it is possible for the believer to know. He doesn't want them to be ignorant. Verse 2. You know that when you were Gentiles, pagans, somehow you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. You used to follow idols that can't speak. But what is true, authentic Christianity, real spirituality? Well, it depends on the fact that God is real and living and has spoken. God has revealed himself. So it is possible to know. Of course, not to know everything, not to know perfectly, but to know genuinely. Perhaps that sounds arrogant to us, but Paul would say it's a matter of humbly receiving what God has said, what Jesus has done. It's possible for the Christian not to be ignorant, not to be led astray, but to depend on what God has said. Next, true spirituality is centered on Christ Jesus, our Lord. You can see that there in verse 3. Here's this test that Paul gives about what is really spiritual, what is really the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. Therefore I tell you that whoever is speaking by the Spirit of God cannot say, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. What is the overwhelming great work of the Holy Spirit? It's to work in our hearts and to bring us to faith in Jesus as Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the most basic Christian confession in the Bible, the sort of shortest summary we could give, really, of the good news. Jesus, relatively common name, like James or John or whatever, the real person, Jesus. And his name means Saviour, the one who will rescue his people from their sins. That's why Joseph is told to give him that name, because that's why he's come, to be the Saviour. Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the long-promised rescuer king that the Old Testament has been looking forward to, the one who would come and set them free and bring peace and put the world to rights. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King, our rightful ruler, the one to whom every knee must bow. So here's the very heart of real, authentic Christianity, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And of course that has implications for what Paul is going to go on to say about their exercise of spiritual gifts. Who's the one who's exalted by the use of their gifts? Is it Jesus, the Lord? Is he the one being served? Or are they using their gifts in a way which is self-serving or follows some agenda of their own? Are we tempted to use our gifts to impress or dominate? Or are we using them in the service of Jesus Christ, the Lord? And you can see this focus on Jesus, this focus of God's purposes on Jesus. Just look at verse 4. Let's think about verses 4 to 6 in terms of the Trinity. Paul says there are different types of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. The different kinds of service, but the same Lord, perhaps the Lord Jesus. There are different kinds of working, but the same God, perhaps God the Father, who works in all men. So what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord Jesus, of God the Father? Well, they all work together to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord. That, above all, is what Paul, what God, wants us to see and know, that Jesus is Lord. That fits in with what Jesus said about the work of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? But above all, the Holy Spirit would show people their need of Jesus, show them that righteousness is available through Jesus. You're a sinner who needs a saviour, and Jesus is that saviour. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to appreciate those things and to put our trust in Jesus. So true spirituality is about what God has said and revealed of himself. It's focused on the Lord Jesus. Next, true spirituality is about God's gifts, not about our achievements or performance. See that word, gifts, there in verse 4. There are different types of gifts. Appropriate for our gift day, when we're thinking about making some gift to God's work here. But of course the order is important, isn't it? What is this passage about? Not, first of all, about the gifts that we give, but about what God gives to us. That's what comes first. Everything, when we think about it, is a gift from God, isn't it? Our next breath, our next heartbeat. We owe him everything. Everything we have in life, we've received as a gift. There are no real self-made people. Our birth was a kind of miraculous gift from God. The Corinthians, quite likely, were very into spirituality. They thought of themselves as terribly spiritual and sophisticated and accomplished, perhaps proud of their knowledge and power and wisdom, thought of themselves as a kind of spiritual elite. But Paul wants to humble them by saying, well, what is the Christian fundamentally? Is someone who has received gifts, grace, from God. What is at the heart of the gospel? Not our achievement or performance, as if we try to, impress others or somehow climb up to heaven, but the fact that Jesus comes down to reveal God, to save us. The Christian gospel is about what God gives us by his grace, his undeserved love, his free gift. The whole essence of faith is to receive a gift, the empty hand of faith, God's kindness, his generosity. And God gives this great variety of gifts to equip his church for his service. Paul goes on to explain about the use of these gifts. And he says that true spirituality is characterized by unity in diversity. That's really the rest of our passage, verses 4 to 11. There's variety and diversity, verse 4, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit who gives them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God who works through all people. And then this variety of gifts listed in verses 8 to 10. Not an exhaustive list, there are different lists in the New Testament, but all sorts of different ways in which God equips us and provides for his work. But verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit who gives to each of them. Unity in diversity, rather like the music group. Keyboard, variety of instruments and voices, But one melody, I'm on shaky ground here with my musical knowledge, maybe even different parts, if we're getting sophisticated, different instruments, but ideally playing in harmony, serving the composer's or the conductor's purposes. Tempting as it is, Thomas, it's not necessarily for the trombone to go off on a virtuoso solo that we might be impressed by the brilliance of his playing. No, the idea is unity in diversity together, all serving the same purpose. Now, true spirituality is not about our own display, but about serving others for the common good. See that there in verse 6? Or sorry, is it actually verse 5? Different kinds of service, verse 5. And verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Not just for the good of the person who has that gift, but for the good of the whole body, for its health, for its building up. It's not a matter of personal performance or achievements, but gifts which God freely gives as he chooses, that we might use them for mutual service. What then is true spirituality? Well, it's based on what God has spoken and revealed about himself. True spirituality is focused on Jesus Christ the Lord. It's about God's gifts, not our achievements or performance. It's characterized by unity in diversity, and it's about serving others for the common good. Well, may God give us grace to receive and use his gifts that we might know the Lord Jesus together and make him known. Amen.